I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Brought to you as always by Crop Metcalf. They are the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. You looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Just visit cropmetcalf.com to join their team. I'm Jean-Paul Flame, joined by Eric Bickle, Johnny Cakes Auville, and Jason Bishop. That's the foursome. We're going to get into the heavyweight title fight coming up at 9:20 with Luke Thomas. But joining us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline, it's the head coach of the Maryland Terrapins. They take on Ohio State on Sunday. They've won 9 in a row. It is Coach Mark Turgeon. What's up, Turge?
Coach.
What's up, guys? How's it going?
Good morning. Not as good as you. You guys are on fire.
Yeah, but Jason always says it looks like he's not having fun. Are you having fun?
I'm trying to. I'm probably not enjoying it as much as I should, but I think it has a lot to do with the league. The league's so good, you can't ever relax. And yeah, but I enjoy day-to-day. I enjoy practice. I enjoy being around the guys, and they're working hard. And, as I've gotten older, I enjoy the wins more. There's no doubt about that. I know how hard they are to come by, but I need to enjoy it a little bit more because it's been a nice journey. And I'm always telling the players to do that and the fans to do that. So hopefully I will down the stretch.
I know you enjoyed the last 3 minutes, at least East Lansing on Saturday.
Yeah, you know, we got hot at the right time, and it kind of went our way. I was proud of the guys that made shots. Sticks made the first one, which kind of got us going, and kind of, you know, we just couldn't score, and it's been that way a little bit for us this season, but that kind of gave us some hope, and then our defense was terrific, and then Anthony did what he did. So, yeah, I was proud of him to do that. And in that environment, it was an amazing environment. What a great arena and college game day and everything. So we've had our last three road wins at Indiana, amazing building. I'm losing track. And, of course, Michigan State and the one in between that. Just amazing building.
You won at Illinois.
Illinois.
And they said it was the biggest game in 15 years there, and building was electric. And so our guys have stepped up in big-time environments and play with great toughness.
You know, I want to talk about – you mentioned Sticks. I want to talk about Anthony Cowan for a little bit because, I mean, Anthony's been so good at times this year, especially late in games. He's been so clutch. But I didn't quite realize – so he's about to tie, I guess, Keith Booth's record for consecutive starts, right? Like, I think 126. He's passing everybody on the all-time scoring. Just passed Tom McMillan.
It's refreshing when a kid stays 4 years. It really is.
Here's the thing. I didn't he's going down. It's just quietly slept. I've quietly slept on this. He's going down as one of the all-time greats. Here at Maryland.
Yeah.
In terms of his numbers.
Well, he's been great from day one. And it's funny, when I signed him, I thought he was going to be a backup point guard to Melo for a year and then, you know, play. But, like, the first week of practice, I called his high school coach. I'm like, holy cow, is this kid good? Mm-hmm. And he's going to have to start. And he started every game, and he's made big shots. He's become such a better player. He was a really good player. We got him. But he just, his understanding of the game is – the game slowed down for him finally, where he sees it, he recognizes situations, which takes a lot of pressure off of him. And he's always been a great defender. But yeah, he's all-time starts, assists, scoring, steals. He's doing some amazing things, and that'll mean a lot to him when he's done here. But he came back to try to hang a banner, and he's put his team in position to do that. So hopefully we can finish strong and he can go down in history as hanging a banner, you know, in our building.
Mm-hmm. Coach, you touched on some of those iconic buildings in the Big Ten. I'm guessing a lot of the opposing coaches, when they talk about coming to College Park, they don't want to go into Xfinity and play there because you have a tremendous home court advantage there, haven't dropped the game there. Talk about
the
support.
By the way, they're the only team in the conference who hasn't lost a home game.
And the way that crowd gets behind the Terps in College Park.
Well, yeah, it's we're comfortable at home. Obviously, we play well at home. We figure out ways to win at home. You know, and I heard our last two games are sellouts, so that's great. We're looking forward to it. You know, where our fan base was terrific is when the students were gone over Christmas, we had Indiana, I can't remember the teams, Purdue,
right.
Somebody else, really, really tough games, Ohio State. And our building was near full, and, you know, people just jumped on, and the building was great. When it, you know, when the fans do that, it's because the students make so much noise, and to play three Big Ten games against quality opponents without them, that's when our fan base really stepped up, I thought. And I know everybody's getting excited and looking forward to our last two home games.
I mean, the conference, I mean, any conference, it's tough to go on the road and win, but for the Big Ten, I'm sure you've paid attention, the home records of the Big Ten in conference play is, I don't know, it's got to be 80%. I mean, Rutgers just lost their first at home the other day. They're 17-1 at Rutgers, 17-1 at home. You guys undefeated.
Yeah.
I mean, going on the road in this conference is brutal.
Yeah, it's brutal. It is what it is, and that's what's made our league what, you know, it's just so deep, really, 1 through 12. I think Northwestern's really good. They've lost six games by 5 points or less in our league. You know, they could have five or six wins in the league, but they're really young and their future looks bright. But it's just hard. And when you got really good teams that are really well coached and venues that are sold out, mm-hmm. it's hard to win. And you gotta be really good. You gotta be tough. You gotta be a little bit lucky in some situations. And you know, we've been all of the above, but it took us a while to figure out how to win on the road. It's hard, and you know, hopefully we can continue. We got three tough ones left out there, and hopefully we can continue to play well on the road because it's important. If we want to be Big Ten champs, we got to win a road game or two down the stretch.
So you always talked about the slow starts, especially on the road. You've talked to us about that. What do you like? How do you change that? What do you tell the guys, especially when you go on the road, about the slow starts? I mean, what can you tell those guys to give them more confidence?
Well, we've been better. I mean, at Indiana, we were up 9.5. At Michigan State, we're up 8. So we've been better. We've been more consistent. You know, during this winning streak, we've been more consistent.
Yeah.
We've had leads at halftime almost every game during this stretch. You know, Illinois, we're down 2. And they made 4 shots we didn't think they could make. One kid was 1-for-18 in league play. That was a layup, and he made 2 threes. So, you know, those things happen when you got a number in front of your name and everybody's out to beat you. So I'm really proud of our group because we've been the hunted all year, and that's not easy. And we've handled it well. We've gotten used to it. We've gotten better. I think our guys have handled it with class. And, you know, so we've just been more consistent. We are who we are. Mm-hmm. We can go through some droughts. But really the difference is we're making a few more shots. Guys are playing with more confidence. And we're taking care of the ball. We only had 5 turnovers the other night versus Northwestern. We've had 1 bad turnover game in this 9-game winning streak. We had 17 at home versus Nebraska.
Nebraska, right.
Almost cost us the game. But otherwise we've averaged around, you know, 8. Take away that game, we've averaged around 7 or 8 turnovers a game. And that's really been the difference in why we've been able to win these close games. Especially on the road.
Do you pay attention to the bracketology projections on seedings for the tournament? Do you ever look at that stuff?
I don't. I really don't. I'm so into trying to win our next game because it's not like you know, even Northwestern wasn't a breather. And
right.
I knew it was going to be hard. I kept telling our guys, I said, don't expect this to be easy. If it is, that's great, but don't expect it to be. We weren't 100% dialed in, but we were pretty good offensively, especially the last 10 minutes of that game. Defensively, we took, you know, first 10 minutes of the second half off, which isn't who we are, but we did. And so you just kind of dial into what you're doing, and you're taking it. You know, our guys have been really focused on one game at a time. trying to get better. And, you know, we had a terrific practice yesterday. Hopefully we'll do the same today. And we're trying to get better. We know we need to get better to get where we want to get by the end of the year. So our guys are pretty focused on that.
Did you watch any of the Ohio State-Iowa game last night?
Not one minute.
Yeah.
You'd be surprised how little basketball I watch. And my buddy coaches at Colorado. I watched the second half of his game last night against USC. But I'll watch the Iowa-Ohio State game today on film so I don't have to deal through commercials, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. It's broken down for me, and I'll watch it in 30 minutes instead of 2 hours.
Yeah, I mean, Iowa pretty much controlled the game. I watched the first half. They controlled the game. Again, tough to go on the road. Iowa's only lost one at home. You know how tough it is to go out there. And, you know, Ohio State couldn't shoot. I mean, they hit 9 of 33s. And, you know, when you don't shoot well on the road, you're going to get beat pretty bad. And that's what happened last night.
Does Coach Mark Turgeon have a show that he maybe watches with the family, with the wife, to decompress?
Yeah, guilty pleasure,
even
perhaps
during the season.
You're watching The Bachelor, Coach?
No. I don't watch anything live. We'll watch some. Let's see. We just finished. My wife and I just finished Newsroom.
Okay. It's a couple years ago. It's good.
Yeah, it's an old one. And I fell in love with it. And then all of a sudden it ends. It ends after three seasons. I'm like, what the heck happened there? I thought I had at least two more weeks of TV I was going to watch, and,
right,
and that show ended. But that was a really good show we got into. We actually started Jack Ryan last night.
Oh, yeah, JP Ray's about that.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. So that kind of keeps my mind off of it for a while. It's hard this time of year for your mind to relax.
Right.
Even my mind was wandering in church the other day. I was so mad at myself because I couldn't stop thinking about basketball. But it's hard this time of year.
Did you? I was told, and I could be totally wrong, I was told that you went to the DeMatha Paul VI game last Friday.
No, I was not at that game, but all I've right. been getting out a little bit more. I've been traveling a lot more. It's that time of year. You gotta establish yourself with some young kids, and you gotta try to get some things done for next season. So yeah, it's a busy time.
It never ends.
I tried to get in, Coach, and there was 500 people waiting to get in. They just locked it up.
Yeah.
They locked everyone out.
Yeah.
Couldn't get in.
Yeah, they could have played that at Xfinity Center.
Right.
My assistants were there that night.
Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, Coach, whatever you're doing, I know you're consumed with it, but it's paying off. So keep it going.
All right. We will. Thanks,
all right.
Guys.
Appreciate it, buddy. Thank you.
All right.
So Ohio State, Sunday, 4 o'clock, CBS game.
And then Newsroom,
still
by the way.
Play at Minnesota at Rutgers, too.
Newsroom, I think, was on HBO or Showtime a couple years ago.
Is that Jeff Daniels?
Jeff Daniels.
Yeah, I think I watched some of that.
He's a really good actor. He's done Dumb and Dumber and stuff.
Very, very good actor.
That's a very serious role. I think he's basically modeling Bill O'Reilly mm-hmm. on that show.
Right.
He plays, you know, the lead news anchor with all of these reporters.
Jeff Daniels has range because I saw him on a Western on Netflix about 4 or 5 years ago. I can't remember the name of it. It was really good.
Yeah.
He played a really good villain.
That was a good show, but it only lasted two seasons.
Cakes, I didn't tell you that while I was away with my daughter, I watched a good portion of the second half of Cheer. That the documentary.
Yeah, my wife watched it.
I got into it.
I told you.
I got into the damn
thing.
Pretty
riveting, right?
Tears. My wife had
tears. No, I had zippy tears.
I came downstairs.
I wasn't that emotionally
involved. She was like crying. I was like, what's going on? The show's so good.
Yeah. No. Did you, Valdez, you're shaking your head. Did you not like it or something?
No, because we've been telling you to watch it.
Well, that's why I did it.
For months now, and you don't listen to us.
No, that's why I did it.
And then finally you do it, and you like it.
What? I said...
He's just slow.
That's why I did it.
He'll probably watch Jack Ryan next year.
I wouldn't have done it if you didn't mention it. So that's why I did it.
Very good.
You guys' recommendation.
You get sliced for Matt talk.
Huh?
You get sliced for Matt talk.
Not really. I don't know the reference.
Must be a person on Cheer.
Yes, it's
Matt talk is when you go out and you cheer on your teammates out on the mat.
Remember, I picked it up halfway through.
Not M-A-T-T talk.
Yeah, I picked it up halfway through.
My talk has a lot of twang in it.
I thought it was a guy like Matt Turk.
No, Ricky.
Well, Matt Turk's not that far away from that.
Well, I thought they were Dunsky, though, when the guy broke his ankle or whatever.
Yeah,
I thought
wasn't
they were
looking
Dunsky.
Good.
Yeah.
All right, big heavyweight championship fight coming up on Saturday in Vegas. Tyson Fury against Deontay Wilder. It is a rematch. We'll talk to our pal Luke Thomas, MMA and boxing expert, next.
Squeaky leaners, Luke.
Here are the Junkies.
Hey. We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington as well. Join us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. Friend of the show, Luke Thomas, host of Luke Thomas Show on SiriusXM's Fight Nation 156. Does a lot of analysis for Showtime as well. He's a grinder. It is our pal, Luke Thomas. What's up, Luke?
Living that grind life, Mr. JP. How are you?
What's up, Luke?
Luke, let me ask you a question. I had lunch with Luke, and he was telling me all about this home studio he was building. Did you ever end up doing that?
Yeah, I did. Mm-hmm.
Does it look awesome? It was,
well, like any project, some of it worked and some of it didn't. But since we spoke, I've probably quadrupled or quintupled the number of subscribers I had to the point where just off YouTube, I'm not going to quit my other jobs, but just off YouTube I could live now.
Wow. How many people?
That incredible! Send me pictures of your studio, dude.
If you don't mind me saying, like, you do a lot of like right after the fight, right? You go on YouTube. How many people check those out?
Obviously, it's dependent upon who's fighting, right? So if it's a small time fighter, not many. So let's say anywhere from concurrent live viewers, anywhere from 10 to 50,000. So the videos That's end crazy. Up doing 150, 400,000 views, something like that.
It's pretty good. So, like the John Jones fight, for example, which you know, had a somewhat controversial scoring. I personally went out to see the John Jones Reyes fight, and watching it live, I thought, you know what, Reyes is giving him a fight, but I didn't think he did enough. And I'm not one of those guys that you have to knock out the champ or whatever. But I thought that Jones, I actually thought that he won it. But then when they start flashing like the strikes, it makes you think, okay. Maybe Reyes did win the first three rounds. How did you see that?
Yeah, so I scored that one for Reyes, which is, I would argue, a little bit significant. There have been two other times where he has had controversial judging. He's sort of like the Canelo of MMA, where Canelo will have some fight that's very close. You go to the judges' scorecards, and he wipes them out. But the first time was the first Gustafson fight. I thought John won that. The second one was the Thiago Santos fight. I thought John won that. This time I didn't think he won. I thought Reyes won those rounds pretty cleanly, the first three, losing the last two. The numbers justify that. I think the tape justifies that. You can squint and understand reasons why a 3-2 scorecard for Jones is not a travesty, but I think that I think the game is catching up with him a little bit.
Yeah.
How old is he now?
33.
Okay.
What I didn't like about Reyes is I just thought he could have been a little, and maybe he ran out of gas. I thought he could have been a little more aggressive in the end, and I hated what his corner told him at the end of the fourth round. I believe his corner said something like, and new, which they're trying to pump him up, that Buffer's going to say, and the new champion is you. And I just thought he should have gone more balls to the wall, but that's just me.
So his strategy, if you actually pay attention to it, and this is why fighting in Texas was a terrible idea, there is federal, to an extent, there is federal oversight of boxing rules that does not exist in MMA. So there's actually 9 different rule sets in the current 50 states. So where you go, they'll have different, not radically, but slightly different judging criteria. And Texas uses an old system that counts forward progression, like if you walk a guy down. And that sounds intuitively right, but what we've figured out is that modern fighters don't do that. Reyes's whole game plan was designed on backing up and using lateral movement because you have to keep John in motion. If he's not in motion, if he can begin to stand still, he'll pick you to pieces. And so the game was predicated on things where Reyes is now fighting uphill. So he wasn't really fighting John Jones. He was fighting the scoring criteria.
Right. What you're saying is you're backing up, but if you still clock the guy, you clock the guy, even if you're backing up.
Not just that, but you have to get John moving in space.
Right. And by the way, though, I saw a really excellent piece you did about John Jones's defense. He's still unbelievable at not getting hit.
His offense, to me, has pretty clearly deteriorated. Not like falling off a cliff, but it's not the same as it was. But listen to this. He has 95% takedown defense. Basically, nobody takes him down. And he has a 65% striking defensive rate, meaning two out of every three strikes thrown his way are either blocked or don't land. And that is because, and that is against people who are all basically either former champions or guys who are in championship bouts. Like, that's not against scrubs. That is orders on both of those counts. That is orders of magnitude greater than most UFC champions. He is extremely difficult to either hit hard, or just control, which is why Reyes was like, what am I supposed to do with this guy? So let me get him moving around. But in the end, it wasn't enough.
Shown by Luke Thomas, the host of Luke Thomas Show on SiriusXM's Fight Nation 156, also works with Showtime. Before we get to the Wilder Fury fight, I do want to ask you about Conor McGregor. And so Conor beats.
You love Conor.
He's a Conor Mark.
He moves the needle.
He is a Conor Mark. Hey,
No. It's undeniable that he moves the
needle.
Why
does Luke doesn't like him? What's?
I don't think he dislikes him. But
what's Luke's deal?
Are you tired of him?
No, quite the well. I've never enjoyed his personality. I've always found it quite grating. Yeah. But this new version, such that it sticks, is much more palatable to me. And it doesn't matter what I think. If he can win, he gets to do what he wants. So
right, and yeah. and it's undeniable that he moves the needle in terms of pay per view buys, interest, and everything like that. What I wanted to ask you is, he is kind of was supposedly a new Conor McGregor, talking about a season and talking about, all right, he didn't drink for a while, he was going to drink for like a day or two, and he's going to be right back training. Is he indeed right back training? Because I have heard nothing about it.
So the reports out of Ireland are that he is. But it's like light. It's not super hardcore, which if that's the case, that's fine. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. We're going to see, right? Because the whole idea was, you're right, he had a 2020 season he had framed. I'm going to have three fights this year, and in between camps, I'm not going to get lazy. I'm going to honor my coaches who sacrificed for me. I'm going to get the best out of myself, and I'm going to take on challenges. And what he said he wanted was that he still wants the 155-pound title, which he had, and obviously could not get back against Nurmagomedov. He wants the 170 title. Boy, good luck with that. There are nothing but hammers in that division. And then he said he wants a world boxing title, which is, you know, sort of like, I think, just a marketing gimmick. But those are pretty lofty goals. And if he can stay active and stay in the gym, one never knows. I don't like his chances at 170. But the 155 stuff could get interesting.
So Wilder Fury 2, they fought in December of 18. I think it was in L.A., a lot of people thought Fury won the fight, but it was a draw. I didn't see the fight. So who did you think won the fight? How did you score it? And then we'll get into the second fight.
Yeah. So I mean, folks are so used to heavyweight boxing being so bad because we lived through the Vitaly and the Vladimir Klitschko era. I really got to warn folks to, like, you got to let that go. You know, spend your money how you want, but if you're looking for something exciting, I cannot guarantee this will be exciting. There are ways this could go bad. But there are a lot of probable outcomes where this one is going to be just absolute fire. So the first time around, it's kind of like, what's the second time is going to be? Tyson Fury is in every way, a better pure boxer than Deontay Wilder. He has excellent footwork, angles, timing, movement, ring generalship, just like everything about it is good.
He's good at moving his head, too.
So he's quick for his size,
he's really
right?
good at, I think, his head movement. It's hard to hit him.
He's very good at head movement. He does one thing where he'll do like that Philly shell where he'll get an angle on his shoulder against the ropes, but because he's 6'9", he'll lean against the ropes. So now he's basically impossible to hit. He's clever, man. He's very, very good. He looks like a big, you know, giraffe dork, but don't let it fool you, man. The dude can box. Deontay Wilder is not that. He can box better than his critics say he can, but what he possesses is, I don't think he's one of the hardest hitters in boxing history, because you get guys like Ernie Shavers. It didn't matter what they landed, straights, uppercuts, even jabs. Guys would fight him and be like, dude, everything hurt. However, in terms of a right straight, this is easily a top five, if not the all-time heaviest puncher with a right straight. He knocks literally everybody down, and except for Tyson Fury, has knocked everybody out. He dropped Fury in the ninth and then hit him with his patented combo, jab, straight left hook, and I don't know how Fury got off the mat. So even with that, Lurch, I scored that fight for Fury. I thought the judges got it wrong.
Right.
But it just shows you. And
I've heard that from a lot of different people.
Say again?
I said I've heard that from a lot of different people.
Well, Fury's main claim, or excuse me, Wilder's main claim, it sounds silly. He's like, everyone has to be perfect against me for 12 rounds. I only have to be perfect for 2 seconds. Well, you go to his last fight against Luis Ortiz, who, by the way, is a very good, I mean, a legitimately talented boxer from Cuba. And Ortiz easily won the first 6 rounds until he made one mistake, and Deontay had him, you know, sent him to the land of wind and ghosts with one punch. The dude has a nuclear bomb in his right hand. So it's, you have to ask yourself, if you play a baseball team and as soon as they hit a home run, the game's over. Do you like their chances of hitting a home run? That's what we're down to.
It's lights out. Now in this fight, at least the way he's been talking about it, Tyson Fury says he's going to come out uber aggressive, knock out Wilder in 2 rounds. Do you believe him? Is that just to sell the fight?
Okay, I mean, I'm not sure what I can say on the air, but Tyson Fury also told people he was hooking it 6 times a day in prep.
Yeah, I remember reading that. Even Drabby can't do that.
I know you read that, EB. That's right up your alley.
I'm sure
I know
he attempts it, but Drab can't even pull off that feat.
No, he struggles with two.
It's hard to do with gloves on.
Yeah.
You imagine trying to spend a day with someone trying to do that? It'd be like the worst day of your life. But, okay, so he trolls MMA media. He's always like, I'm going to get into MMA and blah, blah, blah. He's a king troll, man. He's a total troll. I don't buy that at all. I went back and I watched his two fights against the two most reputed punchers he'd ever faced, Derek Chisora in the rematch and Klitschko. Show me where he does that in any of those fights.
Well, the Klitschko fight,
true.
If I recall, was a hold fest.
The second Chisora fight, yeah, it was a hold fest because Chisora was getting tuned up. But
No. I'm talking about Tyson Fury when he won the belt against Klitschko.
Oh, yeah.
It was a hold fest. It was an ugly boxing match.
And look what he did against Wilder the first time, which was, you know, stick and move, which is a fine strategy. Like, it's, you know, the idea that you're going to, I mean, here's the thing about Wilder. I said he's not a great boxer, and he's not. There's just no evidence to conclude that he is. But he is better than his critics. And if he just incorporates some feints, he's already pretty good at cornering people in the ring post or against the ropes. Dude, he's going to give people problems. He's very, very good off the back foot when people actually press into him. So if Fury wants to do that, which I actually just don't believe that he will, maybe he'll win, but I don't like his chances doing that.
So Wilder, slight fave, -130. By the way, the fight's in Vegas at MGM Grand. Slight favorite, 130. Fury coming back is even money. Total in the rounds, 10.5. You got to lean on this fight?
So I saw that. I was surprised to learn that that Wilder was the favorite. I would give you this advice, Lurch, if it was the same numbers, but it was reversed.
Yeah.
I would take the under on this guy. I would take the underdog, rather. I would take Fury, not because I'm saying that Wilder can't win, but if the rules were reversed and Wilder was at, I think he's at -130 and the other got a +110 or so, give or take, depending where you're looking, I would say take the under here. I thought the oddsmakers would have this as a pick 'em. This is one of those weird fights where you know exactly what the guys are going to try to do for the most part, but it's just really hard to know. If Deontay's got 36 minutes to land one punch, and history has shown he's done that. So is that enough? On the other hand, in terms of skills, he's completely overmatched. So I would say no matter who the underdog is, whether it would be Wilder or Fury, take that. But, you know, this is really, really an interesting and compelling fight.
Can Fury knock him out?
I don't believe that. I mean, here's the thing. Wilder, he doesn't have necessarily the best chin. In fact, Luis Ortiz in their first fight kind of gave him some trouble. But Fury is just not a power puncher. As I mentioned, he landed on Derek Chisora in the second fight constantly. And, you know, eventually the fight was ended, but he barely hurt him round over round over round. I just don't believe he's going to land on Deontay enough to make him pay.
Deontay said that Fury has pillows for hands.
Yeah.
Well, he's got one thing that he does. He does a jab where, go back and watch, you'll see it in this fight, he does it constantly. He doesn't ball up his fist and stick it in your face. He actually keeps an open hand and then flicks the end of his glove like he's trying to get a booger off of it because what he's trying to do is he's trying to just blind you as he changes angles or switches things up. It's actually crazy effective, but it's not a hard punch.
Luke, I liked your line from earlier. He sent him to the land of wind and ghosts. What's the context there? I have no idea what that means.
I don't know. I had a producer who was this old dude. He was this old boxing head, and we would watch fights together, and he would watch somebody just get absolutely crushed. He'd be like, land and wind of ghosts, send him. So I just borrowed it from him all these years. I actually don't know, but it's always sounded pretty cool.
Hey, one
man, steal it.
One more UFC question, because and it kind of relates to Conor, is the next big one is Habib against Tony Ferguson. And I could see Ferguson winning it. What's your early take on that?
Yeah, provided they make it. This is the fifth time that they've tried to make this fight. Four times it's fallen out, both guys getting injured, a pair each. I would argue this is maybe one of the most important fights in MMA history. And I mean that without a shred of hesitation. It is an incredible contest. I mean, no one – here's what I'll say. You guys have seen Habib do some work, or at least some highlights, right? I mean, people try to wrestle this dude and not smart, not going to go your way. Or they'll say, I'm going to strike this guy, and then I'll just defend myself if he wants to take me down. Not bright. Tony Ferguson's a little different because he has offense literally everywhere from every position. And two things about Khabib kind of stand out. One, he's never been knocked down. But two, more importantly, he's actually never been cut in a fight. And Tony Ferguson is known for slicing people up. So you have to ask yourself, what if he gets taken down, but he actually opens up a cut over Habib's eye? Not that it stops the fight itself, but that it disrupts him. He can't see. What does that do for things? I still think that Habib is going to wrestle him in ways that folks are going to be surprised by. But I also take the ingenuity and some of the violence in all capacities that Ferguson has seriously. So I lean towards Khabib, but that one could get interesting.
By the way, these guys should know Ferguson is such an athletic freak. Didn't he tear his ACL and he didn't do conventional rehab with like a physical therapist? He just did it on his own.
Yeah, he didn't get any training for it. This guy just built his own exercises. Now, he got mad at me once because he was doing a deadlift on a trap bar, and I kind of made fun of him for it. So because he was rolling. Remember that video with
you're big on deadlift form.
Well, I mean, if you do it right, it's a great exercise. You do it wrong, you're going to go to Snap City. And you guys remember when Bryce Harper imagine that 10 times worse.
Yeah.
And so I made fun of him for it, but then he got better at it and then sent me a video with him in a sombrero doing the same deadlift much better and told me to F my deadlift.
Who did that to you? Bryce?
Tony Ferguson.
Yeah, yeah.
So but he invents all of his own workouts. He's a crazy dude. He says crazy things. But then you go in there and you watch him. Great example. He fought another very talented fighter, Rafael Dos Anjos, in Mexico City. Mexico City is 2,000 feet higher in the air than Denver.
Yep.
And this dude went five rounds without taking one step back. He fought another guy, a former champion, in the sky and didn't gas. And he is just that kind of a fighter.
Believe me, the altitude, I was watching golf in Mexico City, I say, and
golf.
And Rory McIlroy is hitting wedges, yeah. 180 because it's so high up in the air.
Hey, Luke, by the way, the producers got on the Land of Wind and Ghosts. Apparently, it's a place where the dishonored Japanese dead go when they die. It's barren, dusty land plagued by cold, howling winds and colder, howling ghosts. Doesn't sound like a fun place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it sounds quite miserable, but I had no idea. I didn't even bother to Google.
By the way, I can't remember. I was listening to your show recently. Who hasn't talked to you for 15 years? Is it John Jones? Like who?
Oh, so many fighters are mad at me, dude. Take a number. Jesus Christ. You know what's amazing about fighters? They're simultaneously the toughest people I know, and they're tougher. Like Anthony Smith was a guy who told me when he was here for the DC fights, he had broken his finger and something had gone wrong with the surgery, and he had told them he was willing to have it amputated, just leave the knuckle, because all he needed was the knuckle for his career to continue. I mean, they're crazy tough people, but if you say something even mildly critical about them, they'll vote you off the island forever. They're sensitive butterflies.
All right, Luke, good stuff.
All right, man.
Always
appreciate
love having you on.
Have fun with the betting, boys.
Right, yeah, man. Right.
Thank you, buddy.
Talk to you soon.
Is he Luke
going?
Thomas Show, SiriusXM's Fight Nation 156. I have no idea.
We should ask.
He makes so much money in his post game, his post match fights on YouTube. I'd stay home.
Broadcast as much as you can.
Doesn't need to. Right?
He's considered an authority in the business.
Well, yeah. He is an authority.
Yeah, it's crazy. Right. I'll do a YouTube thing after Redskins games. I can get like 30 viewers.
I'll come
think.
Over and film it.
Yeah, yeah.
That would be interesting. We should do that.
Yeah, we'll do it.
All right. Hey, does your kid love to play basketball?
Sure.
Does he or she want to get better at basketball?
Of course.
Of course they do, right? Well, you know what? There's a great camp. It's Coach Wooten's basketball camp. And at Coach Wooten's basketball camp, I'm telling you, the campers love to play basketball, and they instill confidence. They teach the game. The kids have a blast. They teach all day, every day. 5 skill sessions per day. They work on your basketball IQ. They got competitions, contests, guest speakers, 3 games per day. What's the difference at Coach Wooten's basketball camp? It's instruction. So register today, CoachWooten.com, spelled with two O's, two T's. CoachWooten.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Junks, live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. It's time for Who's on the Hot Seat, furnished by our friends at Marlowe Furniture. Todd Reirden is on the hot seat this week.
Is. I'll let Capitals, you tell him that.
The Capitals' woes continued last night in an overtime loss to the struggling Montreal Canadiens. The Caps are in a free fall, have dropped seven of their last 10. Some Caps faithful, Jason Bishop included, are beginning to question if it's time for change behind the bench. Time will tell.
It's crazy.
Marlowe Furniture, all the styles you love for less.
Jason doesn't think that.
I'll kick
Why'd
mess.
You lie?
Yeah.
What if Coach is driving around?
He's throwing me under the bus.
He just said that I was going to ask the coach about the. I'm just throwing it back at him.
Yeah.
Relax.
Exactly.
You don't want
relax.
That rumor out there.
You're so protective.
It's done in jest.
He's such a nice guy.
I know he's a
but
nice
if
guy.
If he's going to get fired, you guys got to give real opinions about
it. Love Todd
Okay,
Reirden.
If he gets fired, I will.
I'll own it. I would definitely think about it.
I wouldn't.
What?
Not giving it up now, but at the end of the season, if it's disappointing.
Oh, okay.
Right?
That's different.
Right.
We're talking about right now. We're talking about a mid-season.
Right.
No, I mean, that's what you're talking
they're in
about.
First place
but I do
right
think
now.
It's a hot
Let's
seat
stop
in terms
panicking.
Of, it's a hot seat in terms of people are wondering why aren't they playing as well as we expect.
If they lose to the Devils tomorrow and then they lose to the Pens on Sunday, it's getting real.
I mean,
I'm not saying they're going to fire them, but I'm saying it's starting to get real.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. I mean, losses happen. You lose to teams you're not supposed to lose to sometimes.
What?
Yeah. Happens all the time.
It's happening a lot.
Okay, but they're overall in first place. I think it's just preposterous.
Oh, they're not going to fire him now. I'm just saying that the voices are going to get a little louder.
Yeah.
Let me just go on. I will go on record. I, Cakes,
yeah.
Heart. Yeah. Todd Reirden.
So does, I like him
so
a lot.
Does EB.
That's on record.
Like Jason's him. The one that doesn't like him, and JP's the one that doesn't like him.
I
not that
like
I don't
him.
Like
but
him. I like him. He's a very nice man. But if you had, if it was possible, hypothetically, and you could either choose Coach Todd Reirden to coach the Capitals for the rest of the season, or somehow Barry Trotz could come back.
Well, that's not even
well, the
possible.
I just said hypothetically.
The Islanders are circling the drain, too. So I don't know if that would do.
Yeah, but they don't have the talent. They might not have the talent that the Caps have. I mean,
Hockey Drive brought up a great point earlier because he's very steeped in hockey knowledge. He said these guys get fired all the time. Hockey coaches get fired with the quickness all the time across the league.
They do. And I'm just saying, don't lose to the Devils and the Pens.
That's a bad look. Yeah. Losing to the Devils is a really bad look.
But we all thought they were going
to
beat the
losing
Canadians.
To the Pens could happen anytime.
Well, true. But but when you're getting chased down and then finally caught by the Pens, now you got to start beating them.
All right.
And the last time they played him, they lost to him. So
well, right. They're in first place.
Lars was already looking ahead to the Pens when we had him on the show this week.
Lars scored again last night.
Yeah, Lars Eller's playing great.
He is. He loves playing against his former team, too.
But on Monday, if they beat the Devils and beat the Pens, he's off the hot seat.
Completely.
Off the hot seat.
Well, agree with you.
If one or two wins can get him off the hot seat, it's a silly hot seat.
Here's the bottom line. They have to find somebody new on the hot seat every Friday.
Yes, they do.
So there's only so many guys you can put on the hot seat.
And let's not forget, the Capitals are in first place.
Thank
let's
you.
Let's look big picture.
You know right. who's not on
first
the hot
place.
Seat?
First place.
Who's not on the hot seat? This is just to respond to a tweeter who said, have you done an XFL preview? Pep Hamilton not on the hot
seat. He is not on the hot seat.
2-0.
2-0, oh, baby.
What? Let me see what the updated numbers are on.
Yeah, please.
Here's your XFL preview to the tweeter who tweeted us earlier.
All right, hold on a second. I got to get to the numbers here.
What's the number on the Vipers game? I'm very intrigued by that.
By the way, Wizards lay 6 tonight. They haven't played in a month, and they finally get back at it tonight.
Who are they laying 6 to?
The
Poopy Cavs.
I was about to say, he shouldn't be laying 6 to
Who's
anybody.
Who's their coach
Maybe
now?
The Cavs.
Bickerstaff. JB.
Oh, JB Bickerstaff?
He's a permanent interim.
Yes.
Right. He just takes
that's
over.
That's his lot in life.
Coach. Right.
All right. So what game do you want? Tampa?
The Vipers, yeah.
Houston is laying 6.5, -265 on the money, and the total is 45.
All right, Valdez, I said I wanted to cash out the Hunsky that is in your account for me. Forget that. I want to roll it on whoever is playing Tampa Bay.
Houston,
I'm
going to
take them, lay the 6.5, and then hopefully win it, then cash out, and then pay Jace.
Then you omnet me.
Yes.
Because you will be omnet, because there's no chance you're going to win that bet.
I know that I've lost my golf heads-up bet. Yes.
And by the way, DC Defenders now up to 8.5.
Ooh.
Big favorite.
Over the Wildcats. Big.
I wonder if I should get a pergola. Should I get a pergola?
What pergolas
is
it? Are
what
selling.
Is, what is a per? I don't even know what that is.
You know what a pergola is.
A pergola?
Come on, Cakes.
What is it? He it's said that, no, I don't know what it is.
This thing you put do. On the in your deck, on your patio.
It's like a little cover.
Do you think I knew that that's called a pergola?
Yeah.
Because I don't live in this county. I
don't know what a pergola is.
Even Valdez knew what a pergola
my
is.
My wife knew what a pergola is.
That's because he's got a, above ground pool in nubby deck.
He probably had a pergola over his above ground.
I mean, I know what a gazebo
we
is.
Had a lattice.
I know what a trellis is. I don't know what a pergola is.
Come on, man.
You've seen him a billion times.
I'm sure I've seen
now,
it.
Just, now
I didn't,
seen
know,
it.
Didn't know what they were
didn't
called.
Know what now called. He knows.
Is it going to cost you more money? Yes.
Of course. Everything's going to cost you more money.
Yes. Get
what am I
going to
do, die with money? I mean, come on. Who cares? Get a,
Yes, buy a pergola.
Yeah, we die with money or get us that $70 raspberry cake.
Right. Can you get us the cake
picking
already?
That up. That's what I'm going right there.
I'd rather have the cake than you get a pergola.
By the way, do we have a hookup at Clyde's? I'm going to Clyde's for lunch.
Oh,
lunch
I know day. What you're doing.
Look at the angle.
I'm just asking.
He jones on
my
everybody
wife's birthday.
Angles.
Ticket her to
I know. You killed
I didn't
me.
Jone. I didn't say anything.
Let's be honest.
He talked about bonefish 86 times. Right. I mentioned Clyde's
every,
once.
And every time I say bonefish, you go, oh,
there
we go.
One time.
Lee Joner.
Yeah, JP talked
everyone
about
here is a Joner.
Some dogfish.
I'm the only Joner.
Just a hypocrite.
JP talked about some dogfish thing for 10 times yesterday.
I mentioned Clyde's one time.
Jason did Passion Fin 10 times. Now Eric's doing his
thing. Thank you.
Clyde's
in D.C.
Yeah, Drexler's. I love that place. Yeah.
I know. My point is that the only one that jones on people angling is E.B.
That's not true.
Usually.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You guys never jone. You never jone, I'm sure.
I never do because I started the movement. I'm the last guy's going to jone.
The president of it?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, anyway, if anybody at Clyde's in D.C., boy might be there around 12:30.
All right, everybody have a great weekend.
Western Wisconsin.
Cakes, yeah. EB, I'm JP. Have a great weekend. Grant Danny up next on the Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.